This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen. Hi, everybody. This is Frau Batsby, and I'm with...
RX.
Welcome to Melange à deux Vienna podcast. This is episode 12.
12?
12.
The dozen.
A dozen. Yeah, the perfect dozen. Oh, I just got an email from the Marriott Bonvoy.
Tune in next week for the Baker's Dozen.
The Baker's Dozen. Title of this episode is Shock Me, Amadeus.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, and we're going to be talking about Mozart today. Also celebrating about 1,000 downloads, so thank you, everybody.
Nice.
Let's see what's new. Oh, we went for dinner to Griechenbeisel on Wednesday.
Yeah, really nice. It's one of our favorites in the rotation.
Yes, we have a rotation now.
Yes.
We are.
No, it's really good. It's actually a lot of tourists, but it actually is really good food.
I like the food a lot. Yeah. And I find that the service has always been really lovely.
Because they're catering to tourists.
And it's famous because there's graffiti on the wall by Mozart, Beethoven.
Mark Twain.
You always say Mark Twain.
Well, it's got to be.
Got to represent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that room is off to the side. I've never eaten in there, but I guess for special people, you get to sit in there. We'll make it one day.
Yeah.
They'll invite us in. Also, what else? Oh, I went to the Art History Museum the other day. That was really fun. With a friend. And I finally saw the Klimt frescoes. I always miss them when I'm there, and I finally saw them. So that was my highlight.
No, it was great. It's been a busy week.
It's been a busy week. And what are we doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Science Ball,
yeah, baby. We're at Table 31. Check us out.
Yes.
I don't know where Table 31 is, but we'll find it.
Well, if we have a queue, we'll know that we have a lot of listeners that are at the Science Ball.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we'll show up on time this year. Somebody figured out how to finally tie a bow tie.
Okay, listen. So there is a guy, and this is a very important thing. If you're going to make a video on YouTube on how to do something, you better do it correctly. You know, there was this guy. He was like, yeah, here's how to tie a bow tie, and super easy. And he did it really, I think he did it to mess with people, because all the comments were all like, this is impossible, blah, 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 blah. And then there was this guy, and I did it in like 2 minutes, so...
Yeah.
And we went to a recent ball, and that was fantastic.
Yes. So now you know how to tie a bow tie, and we will be there on time.
Ah, I can do it. I can do it with my eyes closed.
You better.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you put it on at 2 tomorrow afternoon.
Well, I refuse to do the clip-on. That's just admitting defeat. So now I now understand how to do it. I actually managed to do the schoolboy knot and all these other knots.
Schoolboy knot. Yeah. That sounds Tucker Carlson. We're not a political podcast. I just had to throw it out there. So I'm very excited about the ball. I cannot wait. We're going to have a great time. Lots of dancing.
Yeah.
And it's the Science Ball is my favorite ball of Vienna. I think this will be my 8th time going. It's the 9th ever. And this will be your 4th time going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I like it.
It's debutantes and the cavaliers, and then there's that midnight dance where everyone goes chaotic and crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the midnight quadrille, I think it's called.
Where everyone just goes nuts down the line.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. Okay, I guess we'll get started because there's a lot to talk about. My sources are today, because I always have to go through my sources, Wikipedia.com,
mm-hmm.
Guardian.com, the article called The Feud That Never Was by Erica Giel, VisitingVienna.com, ScreenRant.com. The article is Amadeus, 5 Things That Were Dramatized and 5 That Actually Happened by Zach Gass. BBC.com article, What Amadeus Gets Wrong by writer Clemency Burden Hill. ThePiano.sg, the title is Mozart and His Infamous Letters of Scatological Humor. Britannica.com, Ranker.com, SemanticsScholar.org, ContingentMagazine.org, the article The Salieri Rumor and Why Gossip Matters by Kristen Franzine.
Hmm.
All right, so what do you know about Mozart?
I know, well, you can't live in Vienna without knowing something about Mozart. I mean, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
The legacy is there.
Is he in the room with us right now?
Well, you land with Austrian Airlines, and they played the Blue Danube.
That's not
Mozart. No, that's not Mozart. Well, I know classical music quite well, apparently, as you could all see.
I know Vivaldi's... Well, I'm glad you're listening today because I'm going to teach you all about Mozart.
I know Vivaldi's Four Seasons. I know. I could make it look like I really understand classical music, apparently. Yeah. But no, but well, who does Blue Danube anyway?
Strauss.
Is it? Mm-hmm. He seems pretty big here. Yeah, New Year's and see, I know he does the New Year's. His stuff features on
the New Year's Day concert.
That I know. No, but Mozart. All I know, to be honest, all I know about Mozart really is. When we saw the Mozart house from outside in
Salzburg,
mm-hmm. We saw the grave at when we took the 71. Was Beethoven's?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Then I'm confusing everybody.
Actually,
today.
Was Beethoven's even there? Yeah, but it's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm going to teach
you. But yeah, I think 80% of what I know is from the movie.
Yeah.
And that movie I saw. It was, I don't know if you remember when they used to wheel in the TV to keep the children busy in school.
That was the best day.
Yeah. I think it was, I must have been in seventh grade and they wheeled in the TV and were like, yeah. So I remember three movies watching them in school. One was Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which I think
Weird,
is very
odd
funny.
Odd choice yeah. for a school to
Are
show.
They trying to encourage us to cut school? And then the other one was Mozart and the other one was Gandhi.
Yes.
And the Gandhi one was very unfortunate.
Yeah. yeah. Ben Kingsley. Fantastic.
Ben Kingsley.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Which, by the way, I was like, oh, Gandhi is playing so-and-so. You know, I never was thinking Ben Kingsley.
That'd be amazing if Gandhi has just gone on to do films.
And then I think you were surprised to know he's half Indian.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be. I thought it was problematic casting. I mean, he was great casting because he was great in it. Yeah. But then it's not problematic. He is half Indian.
No, he did it so well that when I see a picture of the actual Gandhi, I'm like, that's not Gandhi.
Where's
Ben Kingsley?
Where's Ben Kingsley?
No, Sir but onto Amadeus.
Amadeus. Well, I'm gonna tell you all about Amadeus. So now you'll know.
Yeah.
We won't go too much into his music. Whatever. No, I love Mozart, but I think I'm gonna talk about the myths and the film and what they got wrong and just kind of historical facts about this guy. So I like Mozart. I'm a big fan. I stan. But I hated the magic flute in the 90s because the magic flute is kind of it's a kid's it was considered kind of like a gateway opera for kids. So in Vienna. So that's kind of your first opera you'll go to. Because it's fun, it's fantastical, and the costumes are great, and there's like a dragon, and this queen of the night, and then there's this bird, Papageno, and then his girlfriend, Papagena. And the music's fun.
In Austria, known as Papagenau.
Yeah, so I'm very spoiled because I think I saw it like four or five times at the opera, and I was just so sick of it. Just kind of how I felt about Swan Lake when I left Moscow. Mm-hmm. But then when I was watching Amadeus, they had parts of the magic flute, and I started to cry, and I was like, I love the magic flute. So I'm back, baby. Mm. I'm back. I love it. So, Mozart, child prodigy, rock star, composer of the magic flute, Don Giovanni, The Marriage of Figaro, Requiem, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, Così fan tutti, and so on and so forth. He just has a lot of works. And let's get started. So Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born January 27th in Aquarius, 1756 in Salzburg. Hmm. So tomorrow will be his birthday.
Oh, okay.
He was baptized Johannes Christotomos Wolfgangus Theophilius Mozart.
Oh, that's right. It was in Latin because that's the christening.
Yeah. So he had a different name. He was the youngest of seven children. Five had died young, leaving only his older sister, whose nickname was Nannerl. Hmm. His parents, so this is a quote, his father Leopold came from a family of good standing, from which he was estranged, which included architects and bookbinders. Leopold was the author of a famous violin playing manual, which was published in the very year of Mozart's birth. His mother, Anna Maria Pertl, was born of a middle-class family active in local administration, end quote. So very early on, it was apparent that Amadeus was incredibly talented. Quote, when Nannerl, his sister, was seven, she began keyboard lessons with her father while her three-year-old brother looked on. Years later, after her brother's death, she reminisced. Quote, he often spent much time at the clavier, picking out thirds which he was ever striking, and his pleasure showed that it sounded good. In the fourth year of his age, father, for a game as it were, began to teach him a few minuets and pieces at the clavier. He could play it faultlessly and with the greatest delicacy and keeping exactly in time. At the age of five, he was already composing little pieces, which he played to his father, who wrote them down, end quote.
So. I mean, show off. Age of five.
Yeah, age of five, he was already composing. He's like the Tiger Woods of classical music. Except Tiger Woods' father taped a golf club to his hand when he was a toddler.
And this was like real composing, because I don't know, I mean, for our listeners in the U.S., like, you're probably thinking, oh, it sounds amazing. You know, no. Austrians, when they think it's amazing, it's really amazing.
Yeah, they got the ear.
Yeah.
Leopold, the father, trained both kids, kind of homeschooled them, kept them out of schools. But as Mozart showed signs of genius, Leopold kind of gave up training him because Mozart just could pick it up. I mean, he was so incredible. And he also Leopold stopped composing because Mozart was taking over. Quote, by Leopold. The miracle which God let be born in Salzburg was Leopold's description of his son.
Ooh.
It's like a Jewish mom. He was keenly conscious of his duty to God as he saw it, to draw the miracle to the notice of the world, and incidentally profit from doing so. Close quote. So he's also a little Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
Mozart is a prodigy. He wrote his first piece of music at the age of five, and when he was six, he and his sister started touring Europe, because it was kind of like an amazing, these two, she was also incredibly talented as well. Okay. It wasn't just him. And there is a rumor that the music that they said Mozart wrote as a young child might have been the music that she wrote.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be.
As a middle child, I feel this. So, quote, it's possible Mozart was considered weird in his day due to a complete lack of intellectual or social sophistication. Tutored by his father, he never received formal education. Thus, his intellectual and social capabilities were severely limited during key developmental years. Mozart didn't connect with children other than his sister, an 18th century Michael Jackson. He spent his childhood performing, dominated by a father driven by ambition. This strange duality of being a musical genius but otherwise completely inept was captured by the comment of one of his contemporaries, violinist Carl Holst, who said, quote, outside of his genius as a musical artist, Mozart was a nullity. End quote.
You know, it's actually funny, because you always assume that when somebody is so gifted that they just, it's like the mind can't, you know, keep just normal social norms in the head. But it's actually because they're so gifted that they're so focused on it.
Right.
That they were just not enrolled in maybe schools or right. in etiquette places. You know?
Yeah, of course. Because also, I mean, if he's touring at the young age, he's not going to school. I don't know what school it's like in the 1700s, but right. he's not getting that socialization.
Yeah.
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Continuing a quote, although it's impossible to know whether Mozart was OCD, had Tourette's, or suffered from other mental illnesses, such afflictions could have had an impact on his social skills and the way in which others perceived his intelligence and sophistication.
Mm.
So Leopold was like an old school momager in this whole thing. Another quote. In mid-1763, Leopold, the father, obtained a leave of absence from his position as deputy Kapellmeister, which is chapel master, mm-hmm. at the Prince Archbishop's court at Salzburg, and the family set out on a prolonged tour. They went to what were all the main musical centers of Western Europe: Munich, Augsburg, Stuttgart, Mannheim, Mainz, Frankfurt, Brussels, and Paris, where they remained for the winter, then London, where they spent 15 months, returning through The Hague, Amsterdam, Paris, Lyon, and Switzerland, and arriving back in Salzburg in November of 1766. In most of these cities, Mozart and often his sister played and improvised, sometimes at court, sometimes in public, or in a church.
Hmm.
So also apparently when Mozart was 5 years old or 6 years old, he performed for Maria Theresa, who was the empress at the time, and then he jumped into her lap afterwards, which would have, I think, probably adorable. So they were kind of like the Partridge family. In 1771, 21-year-old Mozart visited Mannheim on a job hunting tour. There he met the Weber family, or Weber, of the Grills.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Weber, a.k.a. Friedelin Weber, worked as a double bass player, prompter, and music copyist. The Weber family had four daughters who were all trained musicians. Mozart fell in love with Aloysia initially,
mm-hmm.
Aloysia Weber. All the sisters were very talented singers, and Aloysia moved to Munich for a job. When Mozart went there to court her, he was rejected by her.
Aww.
Aww. The Webers moved to Vienna after the father had died, so the mom and the four daughters. Mozart briefly moved in with the Weber family in Vienna due to Mrs. Weber being a landlady to make ends meet. It is there where he fell in love with Constanze, the younger sister of Aloysia, and who he had originally fallen in love with. And if I was Constanze, I would never let him forget that.
Well, I mean, no, I was a bit confused.
I really like your sister. Oh, no, I like you. So during this time... next. Thank you, next. So during this time, while he was living with them, Mrs. Weber was not happy with the PDA that was going on between her daughter and Mozart, so she forced him to move out very soon. Mm. Quote, the courtship continued not entirely smoothly. Surviving correspondence indicates that Mozart and Constanze briefly broke up in April 1782 over an episode involving jealousy. Constanze had permitted another young man to measure her calves in a parlor game.
What? Nice calves, Constanze.
Look. Yeah, so that was he was ticked. Mozart also faced a very difficult task getting permission for the marriage from his father Leopold. So his father was quite an overbearing character, and his dad was, I think, in Salzburg at the time while he was in Vienna. Mozart was in Vienna. Mm. Quote, Mozart wrote to Leopold on 31 July 1782. He wrote, all the good and well-intentioned advice you have sent fails to address the case of a man who has already gone so far with a maiden. Further postponement is out of the question. So I was thinking, oh, is she pregnant? Hmm. But she didn't have a kid until, I think, a year plus after this. But it could have been that she was pregnant and she had a miscarriage. I'm not quite sure. Continuing the quote. This writer, Hertz, relates, quote, Constanze's sister Sophie had tearfully declared that her mother would send the police after Constanze if she did not return home, presumably from Mozart's apartment. On 4th of August, Mozart wrote to Baroness von Waldstetten asking, can the police here enter anyone's house in this way? Perhaps it is only a ruse of Madame Weber to get her daughter back. If not, I know no better remedy than to marry Constanze tomorrow, if possible, today.
Rush, rush.
Rush, rush. So the marriage did indeed take place that day, 4th of August, 1782. So that's why I think she might have been pregnant, because it was such a rush to get married, or that the mom was threatening.
Shotgun wedding.
Shotgun wedding. So they were actually married at Stephansdom.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice place.
I know, right? Constanze was 20 and Mozart was 26, which is funny because 20 is not that young in those days.
She was an old maid.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, if you look at the movie Amadeus, they cast like a girl that looks like a woman that looks like she's 15 years old. That's why I don't know why they. It's a weird Sofia Coppola type of thing where I'm like, was it a genius thing to cast that actress, or is she just not a great actress? I'm not sure. So he had waited for his dad to agree to the wedding, but he went ahead and did it anyway. A day after their marriage, the acceptance letter arrived.
Mm.
So dad was okay with it.
Right.
Mozart's writing process was interesting. He never made copies of his work while he was working on it. There was no Kinkos.
Okay.
But I guess when you were a musician back then, you would write and you'd have like a scribe to make copies of it. Mm-hmm. He rarely crossed out things he wrote down because he never corrected things because the section was already composed in his head.
Oh, okay. So his memory really was...
Yeah, all the notes were in his head already, so he didn't have to like go back and, you know, use whiteout. He would leave blank sections and then he would come back to them at a later date to fill in the missing music. That's exactly how I write my book. So ergo, I am Mozart.
Oh, well.
I write romantic comedies. I am not Mozart.
So he was the originator of object-oriented programming, really.
What's that?
Well, it's the same idea. You have different objects and you put them in the right order. So you could leave stuff blank until you figure out how you write that particular object that you're going to call.
Is this... Hey. Computer stuff?
Yes, computer stuff. Really? But it's really impressive though that he's like, no, there's something that's here, but I don't have it yet. And he just leaves it blank. It's pretty smart.
I wish I could have used that when I was going to school. I'd be like, no, teacher, I swear. I have something in here. It's all in here. Just give me a little bit.
I don't know if you remember those old IBM manuals. There was always this page left intentionally blank.
No, I don't remember that at all because I did not read IBM manuals.
Well,
I know, it's a miracle we got together.
Kids, if you want to get an interesting read, 1980s IBM manuals. And it was always funny. It was always like this page left intentionally blank. And I'm like, well, why do you have to say it? Just leave it blank.
What? I don't know.
I don't know.
Was it for notes?
You know what? We will find out next week.
Okay, okay.
Because I'm sure the listeners at home are like, yeah, why? Yeah, but there would be a manual, and then it would just say, this page left intentionally blank. And I'm like, fine.
Could it be for, like, future technology?
But then if you leave a blank, then somebody can write on it. Maybe.
It's very Google-esque.
Yeah.
Very weird. I just said a smart thing. See?
Wait till somebody will write in and be like, well, obviously.
Well, obviously, it's, yes.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. All right. There's your morning gone. You're going to research that. So back to Mozart.
Yeah.
Who's just like me. Mozart's personality. So he was described as impulsive, childlike, erratic, lively, and a workaholic. He also had a dirty sense of humor. He'd write letters to his sister with poop jokes and even wrote a song called Lick Me in the Ass.
Well, now I have to learn how to say that in German.
Leck mich im Arsch. I decided not to quote his dirty letters because pearl clutching. And also, poop jokes apparently were very en vogue at the time in the 1700s.
My son is somewhere like, I was born in the wrong
part. Yeah. There's poop emojis now and people make stuffed animals out of them. Yes.
I mean,
gross.
Hey. Hey. Sometimes lowbrow is the only way to go.
Yeah. So it's funny because in the film, Mozart's seen as this like crazy, absolutely like spontaneous, hedonistic guy. And I think that is kind of like how he was. But then, of course, he would just sit and work. And he was so focused on he was a workaholic as well. It's mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Well, he obviously enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, I mean, or he just had to get that music out.
When you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Mozart also despised feeling like a servant to the royal class. Because back then, musicians, like, you had to have a patron to pay for it. It's not like you could work another job and then be a musician. It was pretty much like that was your job, but you had to find people to sponsor you and pay. And, you know, you'd have to take on students. Even if you were at the top of your composing life, you would often take on students just to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. And again, he was almost like not a socialist, but he hated this idea of having to work for
somebody,
the aristocracy. At the time, Emperor Joseph II was one of his patrons, and I think they seemingly got along. But Mozart was known to dislike the ruling class in general and often felt very constrained. This was also around the time of the French Revolution, which started in 1789, and Emperor Joseph II was very aware of the dissent of people in France, especially since his sister was Marie Antoinette, mm-hmm. born Maria Antonia.
Well, did he restrict, did the patrons restrict what he could work on? Or?
Yeah, so I mean, they show that in the Amadeus film where like he wants to write The Marriage of Figaro, which is based on a French play, and Emperor Joseph had banned anything French at the time.
Right.
And then he also wanted to do an opera in German, and people were kind of shocked about that because usually it was Italian. And it's kind of like you had the older musicians who didn't like this new and improved music that was coming up by Mozart because he was considered a rock star. It was a little bit shocking.
And I'm sure it was considered experimental and people not used to it.
Right. Know. It's kind of modern.
Yeah.
So yeah, in terms of his physical appearance, even though there's paintings of him, there's not a lot to describe what he looked like, but apparently he was very short. He was 5 feet tall and very, very thin. And since childhood, he had had bouts of illness, so he was very pale. He had blondish hair, but very, very blue eyes. Apparently, he also had he was deformed in one of his ears, which is now dubbed as a condition known as Mozart ears. It's missing something in, like, I don't know. I can't describe an ear.
But I'm assuming it didn't affect his hearing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Which is very important.
Yeah. See? Beethoven. He and his wife liked to spend a lot of money on clothes, and Mozart had to ask for loans throughout his life. And they lived kind of a very hedonistic lifestyle, and they were always dressed very, very well. And by the way, I'm going shopping this afternoon.
All right.
There's also this belief that Mozart overindulged in drinking and partying, that he was like an alcoholic. But that might not be true either. People just lived a little bit crazier back then, because you could die from a paper cut. So I think it was like...
Enjoy
it while you can.
The moment you're born, you start dying, so you might as well have a good time.
There you go. So let's talk a little bit about the Salieri feud, which is featured in the Amadeus film. In the film, it's this idea that Salieri keeps messing up Mozart's rise to fame because he's incredibly jealous, and... there's also this belief that he purposely had Mozart die or get poisoned him, whatnot. So hashtag justice for Salieri. So this was interesting. It was actually Alexander Pushkin who first seized on the idea that the alleged rivalry between the two Vienna-based composers might make for good drama.
Pushkin the Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And who was of African descent.
I know, which I did not know until a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. In 1830, he published a short play called Mozart and Salieri, in which the latter murders the former on stage. The play was later set as an opera by the composer Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov and has continued to grip the artistic imagination ever since. The idea that Salieri poisoned Mozart. So in the movie, it shows a hatred of Mozart by Salieri, but actually that was not the case, at least while Mozart was alive. If anything, Mozart hated the Italian cabal of musicians, and when he would fail, he would write about it to his father. It was more of a way of self-preservation to avoid his father's disappointment. Mm. So he would always blame Italian composers if his music wasn't doing well.
Those eye ties.
Yeah, so Salieri being Italian, you know, it was more Mozart, but they actually did not have a rivalry. It's also like the Italian dog ate my homework whenever he would talk to his dad. Mm. So if anything, Salieri may have started to hate Mozart after his death because that is when Amadeus hit cult celebrity status. Mm. He was truly the first to reach that type of posthumous fame. Like that was, he died and then it was like his artwork went up. The poisoning rumor was actually started in the 1800s where Pushkin would have gotten this idea. So, quote, in April 1824, a curious rumor made its way into the newspapers of Paris. Following a performance of selections from Mozart's Requiem, the Gazette de France reported, quote, before the opening of this concert, it circulated in the hall as positive news that Salieri had come to accuse himself on his deathbed of having poisoned Mozart in an outburst of appalling jealousy. We recount this news without, however, having much faith in it, since for a long time the author of has been struck with a form of mental alienation, of which this voluntary revelation is only the sad and latest effect. So what they're talking about is that Salieri, when he was in an institution towards the end of his life, was claiming to have poisoned Mozart, but there is nothing true about that. And of course, this made the round in the musical circles in the early 1800s, because this was gossip. Mm-hmm. So there is also no evidence that Mozart was poisoned. Salieri did end up in an institution, like I said. What I do find interesting about Salieri is that he was a teacher to Beethoven and Schubert and one of Mozart's sons.
Oh.
Yeah. So as Mozart started to get sick, he became obsessed with finishing the Requiem. It's one of his most famous pieces, and you would recognize it when I play it for you later. In the film, it shows Salieri's evil plan to steal it from Mozart after he dies, but he ends up helping him write it. It's actually, I think, a great scene because the two of them are kind of... Salieri's writing the music as Mozart's telling him what he's imagining. And it's these two talented artists kind of having a bonding moment. I don't think you remember that scene.
No.
No. So then in the film, they show that Salieri is the one that secretly commissions the Requiem. Because the idea was what Salieri was going to do is have him write it. Mozart dies. He steals the Requiem and says it's his own.
Right.
So this is the actual story of the Requiem. Quote, in the final weeks of his life, Mozart was approached by an intermediary of Austrian Count Franz von Walsegg, who had the habit of commissioning works and passing them off as his own. The Count sought to commission Mozart to compose a Requiem for his recently deceased wife. Mozart agreed and took half the payment for the job up front. He didn't finish it before his death. His wife, Constanza, in need of money, hired composers to secretly finish the piece so she could receive the second half of the payment from Walsegg. She found herself in the difficult position of needing to keep the authorship of the piece secret from Walsegg so he could pay her and also the public so she could rake in high fees for performances with Mozart's name attached. Mm. The secrecy surrounding the writing of Mozart's Requiem has led to many versions of the truth, even from biographers who personally interviewed Constanze. According to these interviews, at some point while writing the piece, Mozart realized he was dying and thus began composing what he considered his own Requiem. He apparently fainted numerous times while composing the work and had it with him in bed when he died. He left notes on how he wanted it finished, though it's unknown whether or how closely Franz Süssmayr, who did most of the finishing, followed these notes, end quote.
Is Requiem the dun, 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 dun,
no.
Dun. No, wait, okay. But that's Mozart.
No.
No?
I don't think so. Wait, am I confusing it with something else? Dun, dun, wait, I'm going to, actually, I will play Requiem quickly for like 10 seconds so I don't get sued by whoever. Da, 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 da.
What, how long is the copyright for this guy's been dead?
No,
for
but it's not the copyright of his work. It's the person who's playing it.
Ah.
Yeah. Let me see. What? I hope this is not an ad.
Wait. Okay.
All right.
Yes.
End. Okay, so you got
so this, so the authorship is under, you know, controversy. Because they don't know if he finished the entire thing.
Yeah, but he did the majority, yeah. So, okay. I mean, it's still attributed to him. So, after a long bout of sickness, Mozart died in his home on December 5th, 1791 at 12:55 a.m. He was only 35 years old.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. His cause of death, quote, "The cause of Mozart's death is not known with certainty. The official record of Hitziges Frieselfieber, quote, severe military fever, quote, referring to a rash that looks like millet seeds, is more of a symptomatic description than a diagnosis. Researchers have suggested more than 100 causes of death, including acute rheumatic fever, streptococcal infection, trichinosis, mm-hmm. which I'll talk about in a second, influenza, mercury poisoning, and a rare kidney ailment."
This is like WebMD when you have a rash. Like you,
you have all, you these, have all things, these things. Mercury poisoning. And I can't say the word. Trichinosis, whatever, is a worm that comes from pork meat.
Oh, is that trichinosis?
That's the one. Yeah. Thank you. I can't say it. So.
This is, by the way, for everyone who's Muslim or Jewish. It's always the, you know, some guy's like, you know, it was totally because there was trichinosis, but now we know how to cook the meat. So, like, you should have a pork chop.
I like how you're like mad.
Yeah, man. You should totally have a pork chop. I'd be like, I don't want to eat the pork chop.
I don't want pork chops. Not my thing. But yeah, that was a really common thing to happen back in the 1700s. Everything happened in the 1700s. So Mozart's funeral was at 3 p.m. Mozart's body received benediction at the Stephansdom. Mm-hmm. This is also where he had gotten married and where two of his kids were baptized. Friends and family helped pay for the funeral. This is a quote by Nicholas Slonimsky, quote, "At 3 o'clock in the afternoon of December 6, Mozart's body received the benediction at St. Stephen's Church. A heavy storm of snow and rain was raging, and the few friends who had assembled for the funeral procession stood with umbrellas around the bier," I don't know what that is, "which was then carried through the Schulerstrasse to the cemetery of St. Mark's. As the storm grew still worse..." Look.
Tell me you've been in a German-speaking country
the without... Storm grew the storm grew still worse.
He was very strong.
I'm really sorry. I'm bilingual. Like, it's tough.
I have an expanded palate. I have spaghetti.
Spaghetti. So as the storm grew still worse... Thank you. The mourners...
Look, the storm grew still worse.
The man has decided to. Look, kiddo woke me up at 2:30 this morning. "The mourners decided to turn back at the gate so that not a friend stood by when the body was lowered into the grave," end quote. I'm glad we're laughing over that.
It happened a long time ago.
It happened a long time, yeah. Too soon. So, despite the common thought, Mozart was not buried in a pauper's grave. So they, in the movie, in Amadeus, they just kind of throw his body in a sack into a mass grave and then throw, like, lime on it. And it's supposed to show, like, oh my God, this great genius, he's poor now, let's throw him in a pauper's grave. And it's a really shocking scene. But I also apologize to everyone I told that he was buried in a pauper's grave.
Including me.
Yes, it is not true. He was in a coffin, buried in a plot, either on his own or with a couple of other coffins, because this was the norm for middle-class people in Austria at the time. The cemetery in St. Mark's, and probably after 10 years... the cemetery is St. Mark's. That's where he was buried. And probably after about 10 years, his coffin would have been dug up, and his remains probably would be then put into a mass grave. Again, this was very common for space at the time.
It's still... I mean, what happens... because people pay per year to keep the body buried.
Right. If you don't pay for your loved one's grave here in Austria, they'll eventually will dig you up.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm...
My mausoleum, I have the plans. I'm sending them to you in a PDF. You can look over them. It will be grand. It'll be palatial.
I'm gonna leave me alone.
Yes.
Just keep paying this. Yeah, just pay it in advance.
Yeah. No, it's it's crazy because especially like if you're the end of the line, but I think you can make. I mean, there's also cremation. There's other options. Blast yourself into space. Yeah, you can make the ashes into a diamond ring.
Oh my God.
There's so much you can do.
The amount of things that people just get buried. Yeah. Just the old-fashioned way.
So I've debunked him being in a pauper's grave. He had a normal funeral for a person that was not aristocracy. There's now a proper gravesite at St. Mark's Cemetery, but his body is probably not there. His skull is supposedly in Salzburg that you can see, but it's not his. They did some DNA testing and there's been some confusion, so they don't really have his body. So after his death, Constanze, his wife, quote, when he died, leaving debts and placing Constanze in a difficult position. At this point, Constanze's business skills came into fruition. She obtained a pension from the emperor, organized profitable memorial concerts, and embarked on a campaign to publish the works of her late husband. These efforts gradually made Constanze financially secure and ultimately wealthy, end quote. 6 years after Mozart's death, quote, toward the end of 1797, she met Georg Nikolaus von Niesen, a Danish diplomat and writer who initially was her tenant. The two began living together in September 1798 and were married in Pressburg in 1809, end quote. And I think about, I don't know if you ever saw the King of Queens.
So they were seeing each other for like 10 years before they got married.
Yeah, well, you know. She wanted to know if he was serious.
He didn't know.
It's a shut-up ring.
Right?
Yeah. I know. It was a long time, but I guess maybe she really liked the last name Mozart. She's like, I don't want to change it. Well, I think about that King of Queens episode. I don't know if you ever saw it, where Arthur has a woman over and he's not that interested, but then she says that she slept with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, and suddenly he's like,
into her, and then people are like, what? He's like, yeah, that makes me that much closer to Frank Sinatra. So maybe this guy was like Mozart's widow. From 1810 to 1820, Constanze lived with him in Copenhagen and subsequently traveled throughout Europe, especially Germany, Italy. They settled in Salzburg in 1824. Both worked on a biography of Mozart. Constanze eventually published it in 1828, 2 years after her second husband's death. So she lived into her 80s. She was around for quite a while. Of course, Mozart in Vienna. He was born in Salzburg, and you can see the house where he was born. Is there the supermarket underneath it?
Yeah, there's a villa, I think,
or a Spar. There's also the Mozart house on Domgasse here, which is also the Mozart Museum, which I actually have never been to.
Actually, I was just thinking, it's amazing how many supermarkets and drugstores are under, like, big monuments.
Yeah.
Well, not even really big monuments. Remember in Miami, there was the Scarface, the scene with the chainsaw?
I cannot believe you are comparing Scarface to Mozart's birthhouse.
Well, it's the same thing. So underneath is a giant CVS, but it is a plaque, and it says Scarface was shot here.
It was the chainsaw scene. I can't.
And the building looks exactly the same.
It's so like, creepy, and it's probably so expensive. Oh, was it a... No, it wasn't.
They should
a hotel.
Make it a museum, you know? Just have somebody from behind a shower curtain.
With the chainsaw. Belongs in a museum. Yeah, okay, so Scarface and. Yes.
That's right. I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
Say hello to the bad guy. Best Cuban accent ever.
All right, back to Mozart.
Okay.
Tony Montana. So, yeah, I have not been to the Mozart Museum. I think we should go soon. There's also other places that he lived throughout Vienna. And then there's Café Frauenhuber, where we've been, which is a great little cafe restaurant, and he performed some of his works there. And Grieg & Beisel has a signature, and he used to always perform at Schönbrunn in the Orangerie room, because the opera house didn't exist yet when Mozart was around. That was built later. Then there's, of course, the huge debate in Salzburg about Mozart's balls.
Mozartkugel, yes.
Mozartkugel, the chocolates with the pistachios. So one, they each claim that they're the original ones, which came after Mozart's death.
Right.
But there's one with the pistachio and the marzipan, and there's one like with a milk chocolate. And they're both very good, but I like the ones with the pistachio and the marzipan.
The other one is just cheap then. Is milk chocolate, or is like, or do you want to put the expensive ingredients or not?
I could be wrong. They could both have like marzipan and pistachio, but I don't think so. I've had the other one. It's a blue.
The blue one.
Did we have the blue one?
Was
in Salzburg?
Yeah. We had it in Salzburg, and it was not so bad.
No, it was.
I think it has.
You just got angry.
No, because if somebody's like, "Oh no, this is the superior one, and it's milk chocolate," I'd be like, "No, it's not." You just completely cheaped out on the almonds and the pistachios.
I should pick up some Mozart Kugel. Oh, and also we had Mozart cake the other day. That was very good.
Oh, that was very good.
Oh, I do like that. So there we have it. Mozart was not poisoned. # justice for Salieri. I once again like the magic flute.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you are surprised and want to add? There you go.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to Mr. Mozart?
Well, I'm just glad I got one thing right about Mozart. No, but his legacy is here. You do know, I mean, I do, even in my limited classical music knowledge, I do know that he was a genius. Really, really interesting.
Yeah. And it's funny because there's a theory that, because I was reading this one thing and they were describing like when he would eat food, he couldn't sit still, like he was constantly fidgeting. And so there's a belief that maybe he had Tourette's. Of course, autism has been thrown around a little bit. And I think it's interesting to think what he could have had neurologically.
Well, I mean, there's definitely, brains are different, you know, and neurodiversity is a thing. And yeah, we get to really appreciate what he left for us.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe he was 35 when he died.
I know, that's crazy. Yeah, so yeah, Salieri lived another 30 plus years after he passed. So that's it for now. We're going to be taking a break until February 16th because we are going to Naples next week. And I have to work on my next book. I've been remiss.
It's funny what I think about when you say February 16th. I'm like 2 days after Valentine's Day. And I'm like, you know, of course, 5 days after your birthday.
Yeah, good.
And then also, I was like, Oppenheimer will come on Peacock.
And it's the day before our kiddo's birthday.
Yes.
But Oppenheimer is, yes. Yeah, you'll be busy that day. Speaking of my books, please, I have to self-promote. Check out my books on Amazon: Death at the Bay, The Socialite's Pilgrimage, The Goy Father, Melange à Trois, A Vienna Love Story, under the name Tova Mar. That's my pen name, my real name. And thank you everybody for listening and downloading and liking and subscribing.
Like and subscribe, hit that button.
Hit that like button. And you can find pictures on Frau Batsby Instagram, and there'll be some wig pictures coming out soon. Mozart wig pictures.
Which are hilarious. They're as hilarious as they sound. And remember, we always have to, you know what, I'm going to institute this new thing, because we've had some great phrases that were in each episode.
Yeah.
So this one, I would even change the title for the episode to "Nice Calves, Costanza."
No. But I can get you a t-shirt that says that.
Seinfeld fans would get it.
I know, of course they'll get it. No.
Kick the chair,
you mad?
Yeah.
You mad, bro? Yeah, what did I say when you put on that Mozart wig? I said you look like a Hasidic George Washington. We have fun. All right.
You had to be there.
Well,
because the wig strangely has curls, which is like...
Yeah, that was on Vogue. I'm actually going to try to do a hairstyle like that eventually. I got white spray. You'll see. It's a whole thing. We're going to have a Mozart night next week.
You know, it's going to come up like something, somebody will say like a Hasidic George Washington. I'll be like, funny, I was called that once. They'll be like, no. No, really.
Oh my God. Insulting the founding fathers. All right, father. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. Have a great couple weeks. We'll see you on February 16th again.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Cheers.